this question before.
Hi all. So we are waiting for Owen and I've slacked him. So we will wait until he joins the call. All right. Hi, everyone. I see that Owen now joined our meeting, so we can get started. Hi, Owen.
Yeah, apologies. Meetings are crashing into each other today because some meetings have time shifted and some have not. So,
Yeah, don't worry. So we were just waiting for you. And let's look at take a look at our agenda. First of all, housekeeping. The next meeting will be in 4 weeks, November 26. I then assume that we won't meet in December, but let's wait for Martina to confirm then at the end of November. Today we will look, and Martina is absent today, so that's why I'm convening this meeting. So we will get a development update as usual from Owen, and then we have two topics. First of is the identifier display in agreements, and then there's I think a Notion or announcements of a UAT for the GoKB search integration. And with that being said, I will hand it over to you, Owen. And stop sharing.
okay, thanks, Felix. Share my screen. In terms of the development update, I think. I'm not sure there's anything outside the GoKB work in terms of development update that is particularly relevant to this group. So I think I'll cover that as we talk about the UAT. The work we're doing at the moment, in general, is focused on finishing off the GoKB integration. So I'll talk a bit about that when I talk about the UAT. And the acquisition unit work, which is really done with one exception now. So that's all in place, and I will be looking at a UAT for that, but that's not for this group specifically. That will be more obviously will be for the main ERM SIG to consider. So I'll be talking about that separately at a future meeting. And yeah, I think that in terms of development, there's not really a lot of other things to say. That's been the focus of everything we've worked on. I will say it is related to it is partly related to the GoKB UAT, but I will say that we have decided to change, and we've just been implementing this, the terminology on the synchronization terminology. And you should see this on Snapshot coming through now. We had the terminology we'd used previously was synchronizing and paused. And I think that that was quite confusing. So we're shifting to enabled and disabled. So the reason for changing that, and I think the German translation actually already used some different language, slightly different language here, was that when it said synchronization status, synchronizing, like it says here, then that gives the impression that something active is happening now. And I think the German translation used was will synchronize. So to make it clearer that the synchronization isn't something that's happening right now, it's a status for the package. So we've gone with enabled and disabled, and you can see that's already implemented here. So search for the where synchronization is status is enabled and disabled. We've changed it in all places except I think here. That has actually been changed, and if you look on Localize the translation app, you'll see that that has been updated to enabled and disabled, but it's not yet because the Snapshot and Snapshot 2 systems use the US English version. It's not come through into that yet, so that should happen in the next few days. And partly that was driven because it became I became I think it's already always been a little confusing, and as we worked on the GoKB integration, I think it became even more clear that the terminology we decided upon there was just not clear enough. So that's a change. It's not directly part of the GoKB integration implementation because it's already in the system, but we've decided to make that change in terms of the language used in the interface there. So I think I won't say anything. I think that's all I really have to say about the develop updates, unless there are any questions. So, then I think the next thing on the agenda is the layout of identifiers. So I'm just interested at this point in hopefully getting some initial feedback on this. We're making some changes to the layout of this screen, to this area of the package display. And as part of that, we're going to group together some of the information about the data source. So the last updated, last created, the source, bringing that together onto one line to group that. We're adding in a piece of information that we currently have but don't display, which is the number of titles in the source package. So that's the number of titles the source claims are in the source package. For GoKB, obviously, that will be the number of titles GoKB says are in the package. So we've been capturing that information for a little while, but it doesn't display. And that obviously eventually will help with the comparison of with checking that the number of items you're seeing here and e-resources in the package is what you'd expect there to be based on the source information. So we're making a few changes here, and one of the issues we have been grappling with alongside this is the display of identifiers. Now, we display identifiers in a lot of places. We have two identifiers here for the package, and if we look in the extended packet information, we see those repeated. And similarly, if we look at a title, hopefully there are some titles synchronized, then we have identifiers here. And if I find, let's see if we can find a. If we've got any serials. Yeah, okay. So we've got things like the ZDB ID, the ISSN, and obviously for monographs, we've got ISBN, sometimes the DOI. So it varies depending on the material type. And in the GoKB search, again, we've got similar kind of things. And the GoKB search, perhaps especially, we can see that we have a lot of potential identifiers to display, and some of them have values and some of them don't. And if I look at the extended title information, you can see there's actually additional ones that we're not displaying here. We kind of had a discussion about which ones should be displayed here, but we can see there's some additional ones, as well as the ones that we have for the different places. And the problem with this type of display that we have for packages in the local KB, we have for titles in the local KB, and now we have for GoKB titles in the GoKB integration, is that obviously, for any one package or title, some of these identifiers will exist and some of them won't. And so we have to deal with situations where we have to deal with these situations where the identifier may or may not exist, and the layout is very difficult, because obviously if there is no ISSN, ideally, like, this is a monograph, you don't expect any ISSNs. There's a question about whether we should display this at all, and obviously if we don't, ideally the IS, you know, you don't want to leave just a blank piece of screen here. And again, like, obviously a monograph won't have an EZB ID. Generally the journals don't have DOIs, but some of them do. I mean, that's the same for the books as well. So I'm considering, or we're considering, replacing this kind of layout where we have like these ta this kind of layout with headings for each identifier or each identifier type, and replacing it just with this type of layout where we have an MCL with a list of identifiers and types, which just displays a long list. And that way, in this layout, if something's missing, we just don't have a row for it. And we could do this everywhere. It wouldn't need to be in a separate accordion. It could be here, and that could go for this part of the display. It could go for this display here and here. It could be essentially everywhere where we have identifiers and packages as well. And part of this is driven by like a desire to make our lives simpler, I guess, because kind of dealing with, you can see, for instance, here, this one is all the space available for it is too small for the identifier. Again, identifiers can vary in length a lot, especially something like a DOI can be very short, can be very long. Some are known to be fixed width, but every time, but there are so many potential identifiers we don't know in advance, and especially stuff coming from GoKB, there's all the for the title level, there's all the custom identifiers as well, proprietary identifiers like publisher identifiers, that kind of thing. We don't know how long they're going to be in advance, so it's difficult to leave the right amount of space for them. And again, going to this kind of tabular display, we don't have to worry about that, and we can get the display right more often with less effort. So I guess that partly is to make the process a little easier for us from the development side, but also it would mean from the user side that you got a consistent display of the identifiers. If we implemented a sort by identifier type, then obviously you'd have consistency in the ordering of that. Situations where it was difficult display on this screen or that discussion anymore. We can just have the list of identifiers. So my question is to get at this point to get initial feedback, like whether people are generally happy to look at this feedback, or whether there's kind of an immediate view that this is a bad idea or there's a better way of approaching this that you'd prefer us to investigate before we go ahead and start working on this.
Is it okay if I just jump in? I know my name isn't in the little box.
Yeah,
I need to change
go
that.
ahead. Sorry. No, go
Karina, by
ahead.
the way.
Go ahead, Vinny.
I think I really like the idea. I just have because yeah, it's way better display of how it looks in beforehand. I'm just wondering, so it will still be searchable. So if I search for an ISBN or something, it will still
Yeah.
then search
Yeah,
in
wouldn't
those fields.
change. Yeah, wouldn't change that at all. It's only the way it's displayed that would change, not what was searchable. Yeah.
But how would it work if, for example, with books, we have it sometimes that they have up to three ISBNs, for example. So how would that be displayed? Would it be type ISBN and then three next to each other, or would it be three times ISBN and then individually, just something to think about when setting this up.
Yeah, that's a good question. One of the challenges we have a little bit is that, I mean, you can see actually in the GoKB search, you can see this challenge as we have it right now, which is that in this display, we've put some logic in that groups together the ISBNs under just an ISBN heading. But actually that came through from GoKB as one called an ISBN and one called a print ISBN. So the reason that they're separated out in this table is because GoKB actually calls them different things. So we could decide to just go with this approach where it's listed. If we're told it's called a print ISBN, we display it like that. Or we could decide to go with this approach where we group some stuff together. I think that either of those would be possible. In the local KB, it's slightly different, and which is, maybe a little confusing. But the difference in the local KB is that things are automatically split between print versions and electronic versions, which is why we get two records here. And in this case, we have two different records. So this kind of by definition, this is the ISBN for the electronic record, and this is the ISBN for the print record. And so in this case, they're just called ISBN in both cases, but they're attached to different media publications. I think this is like the I see Felix's hand. I think that the local KB is generally a more accurate way of doing it. So, for instance, if you look at the ISSN registry, for example, it does it this way, right? You have the electronic and you have the print, and you have the ISSN in both cases, and you have the ISSN for the electronic and you have the ISSN for the print. And they don't call them EISSN, they don't call them PISSN, they just call them ISSN. And then they say, but it's for the print version or it's for the electronic version. And that's more like we do here. And in that case, we have this split. The GoKB, because it's kind of accepting what's put in, just it depends on what people put in somewhat. And I think there's some historical aspects to that as well. And actually in the local KB, there are a few historical aspects similarly. So it could either try and do a good job of grouping them under one heading, if we certainly for ISBN and ISSN, or we could decide to just use the labels as they're passed to us. Either would be possible, I think. Felix, I see you've got your hand up.
Yep, so when we speak about things that Folio should do, we always, or the app interaction stick always wishes for consistency. So let me just share how inventory does that. So
Okay, yeah.
in inventory, you also have this multi-column list or table. And for each identifier of the same namespace or same type, there is a separate row. So the row is
Okay, so
just
repeated.
yeah, repeated, right?
Okay. I mean, that's definitely the simpler way to do it, because you don't need any, like, you just list them out as they are.
And I have a follow-up question. So right now, the on the package side, could you maybe go back to the packages tab? So when we see the identifiers here at the top level, so where we have
Yeah.
GoKB ID, GoKB. So that's I don't know the is it like the label that is displaying here? And when you look at the extended package information, the MCL, you'll
Yeah.
see the type that is more like the name that you receive. I don't know from the OAI
Yeah,
feed.
we could, I think we there's no reason we shouldn't fix that, and use a defined label if it's available. And if we happen across an identifier that we don't have a defined label for, we would display the type. I have to admit, I'm just I'd need to double check whether we have. So the way it's stored in the database is each identifier is given what we call a namespace. And that is essentially the identifier type. And the namespace has a value and I think a label. And I'm surprised here, the label would be what we might expect to be the English language version of it, or the user facing version of it. And the type would be a code. I mean, it's an understandable code, but it's a code. So I think I don't know why. I think we should be able to display the value there instead of the type, but I'd have to double check what we actually get. But I think that's a solvable problem. I think we could change that. However, in whatever way, I think it might be kind of a simple thing we've overlooked, honestly, in the in this particular implementation. But if it's not, and even if it's harder than that, there's since we already use these up here, like we could definitely start using them down here. I mean, I wonder whether we ought to, this might be a point to consider whether we ought to make those translatable. I don't know if there are any examples where that would be useful. Like where there is, like I don't, I mean, generally identifiers because of their nature, you want to use a single type for them, but like I don't know if there are any examples of, say, German names for another identifier being different. Like I assume that ISSN and ISBN are used globally because there'd be no point otherwise. But I don't know if there are examples where people use different labels in different languages for the same identifier.
I can again speak for what we've done during localization or translation for the inventory identifier types. We have like the CDB ID, so the journal identifier here from Germany, and some libraries are referring to it as ID, but some are as number or Nummer then in German.
Right.
So that might be a use case if some people want to stay in their own terms. That could be one use case. And another one, if you don't want to have the abbreviation, so if you want to say not DOI but digital object identifier, or
Yeah.
same for URN, but that might be more edge cases. So there might be, but yeah, I think it depends on how hard it is to implement that, having that translatable, because that's flexible, right? We don't have a fixed number of identifier terms.
Yeah, I was just I was pondering how we would do it as I was thinking about it. I think there might be a way of doing it in the tenant settings. So you could have a pick list of identifier types that were mapped, maybe. Right, go ahead. I see a question.
Sorry. I was just wondering if it would maybe make more sense to, instead of making it translatable, to have like in the e-management app, we have those like little note fields, like when you hover with your mouse over it,
Yeah.
it can display something to have an alternative. So to keep the IDs in general the same for a folio or for the local KB, but if every tenant could then make a little note about, for us this is called, and then the different name, or even to put in some additional information about the identifier, if just as a like alternative to
Yeah.
or if it would be easier to make it this way instead of having it translated.
Okay.
But
Yeah,
yeah,
I mean,
I don't know which is easier.
I think that the challenge, as Felix identifies, is that for like, and it's part of the issue that we have at the moment, but is that when we get a list of identifiers from an external source, be that GoKB or something else, then there's no, we can't know in advance all of the possible identifier types we might get handed, but we do store them. So, and or the types that we can decide are important enough to say something about them, we could do what you've suggested. But of course, for every other one that we either decide it's not common enough or we just didn't, we'd never heard of it before, because GoKB has, if we look at Let's say some journals. We'll probably find some examples, will we? I mean, this is obviously a test one, but as an example, we couldn't anticipate that we'd get this type through. It's not one that's generally well known. And in that case, we wouldn't have anything additional to say about it. So I guess that where we know and we anticipate, we can map them, but where we and then we could either provide a translation or we could provide a explanation or both. In the cases where we don't, we obviously couldn't do that. There is an approach I can think of that could allow for you to configure what is displayed in this list, even for things that we hadn't anticipated, once they were in the system, that you could set up a label for them. But I think that adding an explanation would be harder, like, or at least off the top of my head, I can't think of a it, I can't immediately think of a way of doing that that would be straightforward to manage. But we can, I think that's something we can have a look at. I appreciate the feedback and suggestions. I see
Just
that there was
to
a,
point it out,
oh, go ahead.
please go for the easier to apply
Sure.
solution here, because it was just like maybe this could be easier, but if it's more complicated, then please don't follow up on it.
Okay. And I see that the comment from Philip in the chat. So thanks for that, Philip. That's helpful. Any other comments on this before we look at the GoKB integration UAT? Okay, in that case, my next steps for this, I think Jill's on the call, so Jill and I will take a look at some designs here and check with the developers that they're happy with the approach. I guess that we might have shared, well, I think that I don't know whether we'll wait for another meeting before we go ahead with some work here, given the feedback now, but we can certainly we'll certainly post in the channel to to look at that. Phil, I see your question around EISSNs and E-ISSNs. Again, like, so we do some work when we bring data into the local knowledge base. Some of that is already sorted because we anticipate some of those issues. For the GoKB integration, we just display what they pass to us. So it just depends on how it's recorded in GoKB, what you see on the screen. We could put in some logic to look at to capture those variations and try and normalize them. But I think that actually GoKB is pretty consistent about whether it uses a hyphen or not in the namespace. It's just that then they're not completely consistent about whether they use the namespace or not. So we get PISSN and EISSN, but I think we get just ISBN and PISBN. I don't think we get EISBN. So there's some, I don't know if we'd call them inconsistencies. There's some differences in behavior between identifier namespaces, but I think that GoKB is relatively consistent within that once they've established a particular way of recording the data. But yeah, I think that if we display the things just as we get them into the system, generally we'd just have, it would just be whatever you told it, whatever we were told by the importing system would be the answer. But we do some special processing for the local KB on ISSN and ISBN because we know there's such variation and we want to normalize it. Okay. So the work on the GoKB search integration is pretty much complete, certainly in terms of functionality. We have we have a couple of issues that we're resolving in terms of I guess we'd say bugs that or incomplete implementations right now. I hope they're going to be fixed before the end of the week. And although we do have some other work that we know we'd like to do, some of that is completely behind the scenes, just changing some of the code to make it more efficient or maintainable, doesn't affect the functionality. There may be little things we want to do, like we've just discussed the layout here of identifiers that we might change eventually, but it doesn't affect the base functionality that we're offering here. So what I'd like to do is to get a UAT user acceptance testing underway. That is essentially a structured opportunity for you to try out the functionality and give us feedback on the initial implementation. And some of the generally the feedback from UAT, I'd expect to either result in an immediate change before we do the release. So if you identify through UAT extremely bugs that we've not found, or particular ways that it's working which are extremely suboptimal, that we need, we
I'm sorry, was it just me or is Owen fading in and out?
Not right now.
Okay, then I have a connection issue. Sorry for to interrupt.
No problem. So yeah, if there are things that need fixing immediately, we do that before the next release. You may identify things that we could improve that we feel we're not going to be able to do immediately, and then they could go on a future list of things to do. It is an opportunity for you to try out the functionality and give us feedback. So I'm hoping that we might be able to launch this next week and give a period of about 2 weeks for you to have the opportunity to try this, so until mid-November. I've started to set up the UAT information on the wiki. So this is already available on the wiki. I'm adding to this at the moment, so you'll see additions, but this is the main page. In the chat. And the aim is just to use the Folio Snapshot and Snapshot 2 environments for this testing. They are, as you know, I'm sure, reset once a day. And so that means it's not possible to maintain the data over multiple days. I think that in this case, that is okay because most of the tests are not long running. Obviously it does mean that you need to set a little time aside on one day to do this test if you're going to participate. There'll be a spreadsheet for you to add feedback to. So the spreadsheet looks like this, and you can just put in which task you're carrying out. There'll be a list of tasks on the wiki, or you can make up your own tasks and describe what you're doing. So, let's say, and you can fill in from a list of categories and give a comment. And obviously, if it doesn't work, you could say, whatever the issue is. So obviously, with your name here, we can follow up if we don't understand the report. So be as obviously explain what's happened as well as you can, but don't worry if you're don't worry too much about what you put in. If anything is unclear, then I can contact you to follow up, as long as you include your name. And then I may have some comments, like it's a known issue, or if I believe that something that it's about the way that you're expecting the system to work, maybe you can note, by the way, if it's that you think the specification is wrong, essentially, so it kind of does the job, but you don't think it does the job in the right way or in the way that you'd expect, you can say that. But I might have some comments and feedback. And then if there's a Jira issue, so either I create one. So these ones are for the PO to fill in generally, for me to fill in. So if you report a problem, if that needs writing up as a Jira, I'll do that. And if there's already a Jira, somebody else has already reported the bug and we already have a Jira for it, I'd add that in. So you're only worrying about the first four columns. And you are very welcome to play with the system and to use it in exactly the way that you would like. To try and make sure that we test all aspects of the system and you have an idea of the type of thing that you might do, where I'm writing up a set of tasks that you can work through. So there are kind of, so far I've thought of three areas to test. So the first one is just generally searching for titles. So essentially using this search screen. And the task is just to search for a title. I don't specify how you should do that. Like, it's not like use this ISSN to search for a title, but you're encouraged to try different types of searches, and also to tell us what types of searches are not there that you'd expect, or if they don't work as you might expect, anything that's missing from the search options or anything in the search options that is unclear. So the UAT might identify opportunities for us to do better documentation as well as make changes to the interface. So, any aspects of this that you feel could be clarified, could be improved, could be changed, or just don't work, you are welcome to give that feedback. The second set of tasks are around finding information in the GoKB search and how that relates to data that you already have in agreements. So if we have a look at this, let's see if I can find an example. A be there's a problem here at the moment. Interesting. Okay, I need to file a bug report for that. But anyway, let me see if I can find an example. We see. Help get the title right. Obviously, for example, this one, there's the option to lo view it in the local KB because this title is already in the local KB. The package is in the local KB, so we can. So the second set of tasks is all about kind of navigating between the GoKB search and the local KB. If there was an agreement for that, you'd expect to see the agreements listed here as well. And the third set of tasks are about actually searching for something in the GoKB and adding it to an agreement. And there are different scenarios there. Essentially, we do this. Then the question of, has that all worked? Do I get an agreement line for that? Is it what I'd expect? And how does that work if this was a title that we found via the GoKB search, but was already in the local KB? So we can see here, this is already in the local KB. That's why we see this option. But we also saw examples of ones where it's not in the local KB. What happens then? See if I can. So for something like this, where the package is in the local KB, but the title is not, then what happens if we add this to an agreement? And I should say the answer is that it creates an agreement line, but for a remote resource. So this actually isn't in the local KB at the moment, so we don't get the full title display. And then what should happen? So this is part of the UAT, like this is where we'll have an explanation in the task, is that this will eventually be harvested and will catch up and will be in the local KB. So what happens when you add a title from GoKB that isn't yet in the local KB? Then you get an external agreement line. There's some fixing to do here. This should display the title, in fact. But this is an external agreement line, but this will This will eventually change the synchronization status of this package so that the package starts to synchronize. And then when the package synchronizes successfully, the agreement line will be converted from an external agreement line to an internal agreement line pointing at the resource in the local KV. So that's obviously a more complex scenario to test, but that's what task three is about. And there you can see where it's a more complex set of tasks, then I've broken them down. And you can test these kind of individually all together. I've broken them down into to these areas. So you can see that I haven't written up majority of these tasks yet. That's what I'm working on right now. You could see that I did notice a few bugs as we went through. I need to report those and get them fixed. Ideally, I think the most problematic ones need fixing before we go to UAT. I hope that we can get those fixed again within the next week so that we can start UAT sometime next week. And I think that's what I wanted to say. I hope, if people want to tell me, oh, actually, this is a terrible time to do UAT and we'd prefer it if we could have longer, or if, I mean, obviously, we want to get this done as soon as possible. But if people want to say, well, I'd prefer, 3 weeks would be better, or you have questions about UAT, or you can, or more, or already you have questions about, like, oh, what about this kind of task? Is that included? Then please feel free to ask those questions now or make those points now, and I'll try and respond to them as I get the UAT going. And obviously once we've started it, people are very welcome to ask questions in the Slack channel or to me directly about the process. And while these tasks are there to help you work through examples, I would prefer I you know please feel free to do, if you participate in the UAT, feel free to do whatever actions or tasks that you want, devise your own if you want, and report on just how you find the functionality and any aspect of the functionality, whether that's missing issue things or whether it's mistakes or whether it's lack of documentation. The more information we get back during the UAT, the more we can respond to it, even if we can't do that straight away. Okay. Well, if there are no questions about it right now, then I think we can finish 5 minutes early.
Okay, then thanks everyone for attending. Thanks, Owen, for your insights and information. And we will see you again as this subgroup at the end of November. Bye all.
Thanks all. Have a good week.